First bill is House Bill 1035, which is increase the gross receipts tax on certain vehicle rentals. Good morning.
Good morning. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Roxanne Rice. I'm with the Department of Transportation. I'm bringing this bill to you today, a little bit of a history of the bill first. Prior to 94, there was imposed a 3% vehicle excise tax on short-term rental fleets. The law was changed in 94 to accommodate dealers and rental companies by imposing a 4.5% gross receipts tax in lieu of the 3% excise tax. At that time, the dealers and rental companies agreed that the impacts to the highway fund were to be revenue neutral and that they would support an increase if revenues were not neutral. To date, cumulative losses to the highway fund are over $1 million. This bill will increase that rate from 4.5% to 6% in order to neutralize the losses to the highway fund. Those are all my comments. Deb Hilmer is here. She was here when that bill was passed, and she's here to provide further testimony. Thank you.
Thank you. I think Deb Hilmer has been here. When was the Constitution? Oh. different from what we did the other day, we'll have all proponents testify and then ask questions of the proponents. I think maybe that will shorten the time that we spend on each bill, hopefully. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Deborah Hilmer, Director of the Division of Motor Vehicles. And yes, I have been with the department for a long time. In fact, 29 years. So I started when I was very, very, very young.
You opened the door.
As Roxanne said, I just wanted to give you a little history about how this came about. The industry rental fleet companies came to us back in 1994 and proposed to tax rental vehicles at something other than the 3% excise tax. And the reason that they wanted that done was to allow them to bring multiple vehicles in during a season. So during our tourist season, they would influx the state then with maybe 1,000 more vehicles during that period of time in order to meet the demands that are here. Then in other months of the year, they may move them into another region or throughout the United States for those rentals. The companies that we dealt with during that time were basically, I think, National Car Rental, Hertz, Avis, some of the larger ones that are also owned or operated by a number of our franchise dealers within the state. And the gentleman that I recall working with extensively on this was Mark McKee from McKee Ford in the Hills area. I did contact him before this bill was brought about, and the reason it was brought about was because of the continual loss in revenue to the state. And the reason it wasn't brought to the attention of the committee prior to this was in 1994 when it went into effect. When the 1995 legislature met, we only had 6 months of history. In 1996 and 97, when I brought it to the attention of the industry that we were not collecting the revenue, it was not a revenue neutral situation, they indicated to me that they thought that certain information was not being completed on the applications, and therefore we weren't capturing all of the data. So we brought it to the industry's attention. They then started keeping track of that, and so after that period of time, we had the data necessary, I think, to show that that is not generating the revenue that it was supposed to in order to keep it revenue neutral. So that's some of the history behind why this was done. Mark McKee with Avis, and then also it's my understanding he visited with the people from Hertz, are in support of this legislation. And with that, I would be happy to answer any questions when necessary.
Thank you, Deb. Mm-hmm. Other proponents of House Bill 1035, other proponents, just a reminder to for those of you that are testifying, if you would sign in on the sign-in register.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I'm Myron Rao, Executive Vice President and Registered Lobbyist for the South Dakota Auto Dealers Association. I can't talk about the history and can't talk about the agreement, but I do know that I only have one member dealer, and that is Mark McKee, who Deb has already talked about, that I have visited with about this, and he does agree that that agreement was reached years ago, and so we do not resist this at all. In fact, we support it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Rao. Any other proponents of House Bill 1035? Proponents of House Bill 1035. Any opponents to House Bill 1035?
Morning, Mr. Chairman. I'm Diana Miller, and I'm a registered lobbyist for Enterprise Rent-A-Car. And I am here to speak in opposition to House Bill 1035. I can't relate to 1994 either. I wasn't involved as a registered lobbyist with this particular client, but I have been for the last couple years. And I would like to remind the committee give a little information on what taxes the rental agency pay in this state, and give you a little bit of information so that you can make a judgment as to if this tax increase is truly fair. First of all, we pay this gross receipts tax of 4.5%. We pay the sales tax, the state sales tax, of 4 cents. The local, any local sales tax, wherever we're located, could be up to two cents. And we pay a 1 cent tourism tax. Now, in addition to this, so that can total maximum 11.5 cents. You increase this, it goes to 13. Now, in addition to that, rental car agencies located on site at airports, and I have checked with the Sioux Falls Airport Authority, Mike Marnock, we pay airport use fees of 9%. We pay if we're not located on the site at the airport, we have to pay an access fee, and we're not objecting to these fees, I'm just bringing them for information purposes, of 6%. We also pay gas tax in this state. So I think I have at least three objections to this particular piece of legislation. Number one, you are increasing taxes on a very specific industry that at this particular point in time is significantly down in business. We are hurting due to a variety of factors that have come about in the last 4 to 6 months. And further, you're going to put another nail in them that is going to cause business a difficulty in business, because we're simply going to pass the increased tax on. It is a pass-through tax to us. We will pass it on to the consumer. Now let's talk about the consumer. Enterprise, and I'm only going to speak about Enterprise right now, 35 to 40% of our business in the state is local. Now let me explain that. We have agreements with insurance companies and negotiate business with them. When you wreck your car, the insurance company will come in and rent a car so that you can drive that while your car is being repaired. We're going to pass that cost on to the insurance company, and I believe there are people from the insurance industry that can speak with far more authority and expertise than I can. They're going to pass that on to the consumer. So I have some real concerns about that. I also believe this sends the wrong signal to tourism. I think we should be doing an increasing the importance of tourism in this state at every chance we get, and encourage people to come into the state. This does not send the appropriate signal when you're going to raise taxes on, if they do come into the state, they rent cars. Many of them do during any period of time, whether it's a certain season or they're just traveling for pleasure in our great state. And we're going to pass another cost on, and the cost of the rental car is going to go up. And I don't think we want to do that. So I would ask that you please look very carefully at this. And I understand that the highway funds are hurting, but there are a lot of funds that are hurting. And to try to neutralize or balance the highway funds on the back of this particular industry at this time, I think would be a mistake. We have not been involved in any meetings. I understand that Mr. Rao and Deb have explained they've talked to one of their members. That's one franchise. They do not represent the industry. The other organizations, enterprises active in this state, likewise with Hertz and likewise with Avis. So we're talking about a very specific industry, a pretty significant tax increase. To go from
4.5% to 6% on top of the fees and the other taxes we have at this particular point in time would be very onerous. And I would just ask that you refrain from doing that and please vote no on House Bill 1035. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Diana. You know, I failed, my apologies to the committee, to allow you to ask questions of the proponents. And under the circumstances, we'll just allow for further opponent testimony, and then we'll just ask questions galore. Good morning, Mr. Thiessen.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. My name is Dick Thiessen. I'm a registered lobbyist on behalf of State Farm Insurance Companies. Diana has made some reference to the issue that I want to make sure you're conscious of today before you vote on this bill. State Farm Insurance Companies is a mutual company. That means we are owned by you if you are insured with this company. So we're not traded on the New York Stock Exchange or in the American Exchange. We are you. When you do something that increases the cost of our doing business in this state, you're doing it to yourselves. So I want to make sure that we know what this tax is and who you're doing it to. The additional tax is going to fall not just on people who come to South Dakota to visit this state during our tourist season, but it also will fall squarely on the shoulders of those people who have a crisis in their life, those people who have had an automobile accident, people like you and I, who need to have a car to rent during that time period that they're without wheels. We pay for that. That cost gets passed on to the consumer. That consumer is you. In South Dakota, I think last year we had approximately 4,000, give or take several hundred, I guess, rentals. Those are situations where we paid for rental cars. Approximately half of those are first party coverage issues. So that means it's our own insured who has had either a collision claim or a claim that has resulted in the inability for them to use their own vehicle. We pay for that. The average cost of that is about $180. So when you start adding up those numbers, we're talking about something significant that's being passed on to the consumer. And ask yourself whether this is something you should place on the shoulders of a few or on the shoulders of many. And for those reasons, we would encourage you to not support House Bill 1035.
Thank you, Mr. Thiessen. Any other opponents to House Bill 1035? Mr. Shaw?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Mike Shaw, and I'm here today as a registered lobbyist for DeSmit Farm Mutual Insurance Company of South Dakota and the National Association of Independent Insurers. DeSmit Farm Mutual is a South Dakota domicile company. It's owned by South Dakotans. NAII is one of the largest trade groups of property casualty insurers in the country. I would echo what the two opponents before me had said, but without repeating what they would say, I want to tell you one fact that I think ought to be seriously considered in this legislation. And that fact is that in 2001, according to the South Dakota Division of Insurance, over 50 insurance companies left the state of South Dakota. And they include a large number of insurance companies that write automobile policies. Randy Moses from the division tells me that when a property casualty company that writes auto has to leave, they have to give a reason why they're leaving. And he said virtually all of them state that it's not profitable to operate in South Dakota. One of the reasons that it's not profitable is legislation such as this. It will increase the cost of coverage. Now, it might be a small amount. It may be a large amount, depending on the company and depending on their business. But this is the type of legislation that's causing a very critical situation in our state, one that's led the director of the division to meet with CEOs of all the companies, trying to figure out ways to keep them here. And I would urge you this year, not only in this legislation, but in others, to consider this fact and consider the serious, precarious state that the industry is in. And ask you if it's fair to pass that on to them, who then have to raise their rates to pay for these things. I'd be happy to answer any questions later. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Shaw. Any other opponents to House Bill 1035? Opponents to House Bill 1035. excuse me. Seeing none, we'll open up for questions of the proponents and/or opponents from the committee. Questions? Representative Hennies.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have a question of Deb Hilmer, if I could. I apologize, but I missed the reason why you had that original 4.5% tax, where that money went, and why it's short at this time. Would you please explain that again?
Go right ahead.
Yes, Representative Hennies. The original reason why it was changed to the 4.5% rather than the 3%. I mean, we could go back to taxing these at the full 3% when they're brought in and used in the state. However, it was agreed that we would allow the rental companies, those vehicles that are used in rental purposes, to pay something other than the full 3% on the purchase price of that vehicle. We would allow them to pay a 4.5% gross receipts tax on each rental of the vehicle. And so that is the reason why the law was changed, was to allow the industry to bring vehicles in during high peak usage and then take those vehicles back out to other locations throughout the United States, because all of the companies that you've heard from, whether it be Avis, Hertz, or even Enterprise, does business throughout the United States. They could then move those vehicles to another jurisdiction and use them in that jurisdiction.
So you have a follow-up, Representative Hennies?
Yes, please. Yes,
go right ahead.
If I understand this right, originally you were charging them a 3% on the full value of that car?
That's correct.
And then you changed that to 4.5% gross receipts tax. And so that you say you're losing money or you're getting behind. That's, you're talking about the difference between the 3% value of a new car and this 4.5% then. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you. It takes a little while sometimes.
Representative Abdullah, do you have a question?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Deb, if the tax presently is 4.5% on gross receipts, after that car has been in rental, what percentage of those automobiles stay in South Dakota and are sold, and then the 3% tax is paid on the entire amount?
I'm not sure that I could give you an answer on that, Representative Abdullah. I don't know how many of those actually stay in South Dakota or go to a national auction to be sold. If they end up back in South Dakota, then we do assess the tax on them as we do every transaction today, and it would be at the 3% of the purchase price.
Follow up, Mr. Chairman?
Go right ahead.
So in essence, a $30,000 vehicle that was in the rental system, and I don't know what the figure would be, but on the gross receipts they pay 4.5%, and usually they don't keep those cars over a year on the rental system. So just picking a number of $30,000, probably at the end of the year that the value of that car is somewhere around $24,000 or $25,000, and if it's sold in South Dakota, there's a $750 3% tax that would go to the state off of that sale. Is that correct?
That's correct. If it's sold in South Dakota,
thank
Representative
you.
Adala. The four, if I could clarify something, Chair, the 4.5% is on the rental payment. So if you're charging $50 for rental, and it was 4.5%, we're going to raise it to 6.5%. We're talking about another 75 cents per day, basically, in taxes that would be collected.
Representative Flowers.
Deb, Diana talked about the 1% tourism tax charged on all vehicle rentals?
I believe it is at the, yes. I think it is. I'm not positive, Representative Flowers. I could check, but I believe that it is.
Do you have a follow-up?
Well, it just seems that if insurance company is renting in one for replacement of an accident, that shouldn't be qualifying for a 1% tourism tax, but maybe it does. But when I look down at the final figure on that, that's pretty high already, really, 11.5%, when you consider all the taxes.
Any other questions? Representative Questioning.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I did have a question. Do you have any of the figures for the shortfall in the revenue for each of the years from 1994?
Yes, we do. I didn't have those with me, but we do have those figures, yes.
Okay. Do you recall what they might be?
It averages, I'm thinking it's about 150 to 200,000, is it not, Roxanne? Okay, in calendar year 95, which was the first year, was about 121,000. In calendar year 2000, it was 251,000.
Do you have a follow-up question, Representative Questioning?
Yeah, I think I did. But, you know, my mind goes sometimes.
I understand. Representative Peterson?
I remember when this came through here. Back in 94, and that's what the reason was, is that the company did not want to pay 3% on the new and used right off the bat, come in here in June for, say, two hot weeks or something's going on, then come back, send them out somewhere else, maybe to Denver, then come back in with those extra cars again when they were during the bike week and these other things. And this is basically why they did it. And the amount that they give South Dakota during that short period of time, we don't know how much money that was offhand on each one of these things. Could go back and forth. Tourism tax goes on just 5 months out of the year, and it's not on the full year, but it is on a certain time. And I'm not sure that all of these cars are there. It has to be in the way I understand it has to be in the tourist area, and I'm not really sure. I'd have to go back and look at the tourism tax to make sure on that one, but that's only for 4 or 5 months. And this was an agreement that was made with the majors at that time. And unfortunately, I've never heard of Enterprise. I have no idea who they are or where they're at.
Representative Tupul.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Deb, if I add these figures up correctly, when you add the 4.5% excise tax, the 4% state sales tax, the 2% city sales tax, the 1% tourism tax, and then a 9% airport fee if they're located on the airport, that comes to 20.5% if they're located off the airport but need access to the airport, and it's a 6% access fee, which would make it 17.5%. Is that correct?
I guess I'm not privy to what the other necessary fees that they end up having to pay because they're at an airport or not at an airport, Representative Tupul. The only thing I can speak to is the fact that this was an agreement made back in 1994 that if this did not hold as revenue neutral, and we based it on figures that were supplied by the industry at that time, that we would come back in and adjust this, and that's the bill that you have before you today. So,
Representative Tupul, Diana Miller is the person that presented those numbers. Would you like to confirm those with her? Diana, would you like to answer that question for Representative Tupul?
Mr. Chairman, Diana Miller, you are correct in the 11.5% that goes to the state. The access fees oftentimes go to run the airport authorities, the local. They go locally. And so the access fees would not come to the state. The access fees go locally to run whatever airport authority you have, and that's the arrangement they have. This airport authority, the numbers come from, happens to be in Sioux Falls because I could reach them right away this morning.
But they would be a tax.
They are, yes, they are a fee. And
going to government.
That's correct. That's correct. It's the local government, yes.
Representative Question, on your mind came back?
I'm not sure about that either. I do have a question for you, though. You mentioned these different taxes that they have to pay, the airport tax, the city 2%, and so on. How many of these taxes were in effect at the time this agreement was made?
Representative Koisman, I can't answer that. I don't. As far as when that 1994, okay. I wasn't representing the Enterprise Rent-A-Car at that time, but state sales tax has differed, has been in effect for that. Local sales tax, they've had that authority, I'm sure, way before 1994. The tourism tax is a tax that came in, and I can't remember the year we put the tourism tax on. A couple years ago, and it changed. It was a variety of numbers. We've changed those numbers. The access fees were, I can't answer that when they were put on, but I would assume when they went into the airport and established business, they had to find some way to fund the airport authority, and I can't answer for you correctly when the access fees were put in place. I apologize, but I could certainly get that information for you, Representative Koyston.
Okay. Any other questions from the committee of either proponents or opponents? Hearing none, we'll close the committee hearing for discussion and or action.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Representative Gordon Peterson.
What we're talking about here is an agreement that has to do with highway funds, not the airport, not the county, not the city, and not the state general fund. We're talking about highway taxes, and an agreement was made. I remember it. I don't remember all the details, but I remember it was made back in about 94, 95, somewhere in there. And maybe they want to go back and pay the 3% on new and used, like everybody else, get rid of this thing. So anytime they bring a whole load of men here, they pay $900 or $1,000 on the damn things and haul them back out again. And I don't know whether you want that or not. It was an agreement to help the companies do business, and they're still doing business in South Dakota. You go out to anyone in the airport, like Rapid City Airport, and there's five or six different car companies there with people there handing out keys every time an airplane comes in. So if it's an agreement, I think they ought to stick by it.
Any other comments and or statements? Representative Abdallah.
I move that we table this to the 36th day.
Moved by... Yeah, if the motion is to table, that's a non-debatable motion.
I move to table it.
Just a moment, please. It's been moved to table House Bill 1035, and there is a second by Representative Hinnies. A discussion on the motion. Okay. I think I said that, didn't I? There is a motion, as I mentioned, a non-debatable table motion. The secretary will call the roll.
Abdallah.
Aye.
Elliott.
Aye.
Flowers.
Aye.
Presley.
Aye.
Hennies.
Aye.
Koistinen.
Aye.
Knoll.
Aye.
Koistra.
Aye.
Jim Peterson.
Aye.
Tufel.
Aye.
Van Norman. Gordon Peterson.
No.
Broderick.
What difference does it make? Aye. I vote aye. House Bill 1035 is tabled.